Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Formula One drivers live life at high speed. They're used to things happening quickly. They're impatient to win.
Sometimes I wish I could like fast forward to see how we're going to be like in a couple of months' time. But I do have a lot of belief that we'll see Alpine competing for much better position in a short term. The mentality and the mindset is what's most important for me. Just seeing the desire and the belief of my team that we can actually do it.
Pierre Gasly is full of belief as he embarks on his third season with Alpine. He believes in the team and he believes in his own ability. He even believes that this will be the year in which he takes his second F1 victory. I'm Tom Clarkson, and here on F1 Beyond the Grid, I ask Pierre why he feels that way. After all, Alpine are not yet a front-running team. But Pierre has faith that they will get better soon, and he believes that when the unexpected happens and a chance for a midfield driver to win a race comes up, he will be the one to take it. After all, he's done it before. And speaking of winning, keep listening for a chance to win tickets to this year's Miami Grand Prix thanks to F1 Unlocked. A huge prize right here on F1 Beyond the Grid. Now, as you're about to find out, Pierre is in really good form. It was a pleasure to talk to him about his rivals, his teammate, his new bosses, and his status as team leader. Pierre, bonjour, how are you?
Bonjour, very good, very good. Yeah, very happy to be here. It's been a while, actually.
2 years. 2 years since you were last on. You're looking fit. You're looking well. How was your winter?
Very good, I must say. It was good to have a bit of time off with the family, because the family is obviously growing. Thankfully, you know, year after year, more nieces, nephews. Everybody is healthy, and great to spend some time back home with them. And yeah, I must say I'm just very excited to get another season going, get back racing, and go out there wheels to wheel and try to look for my second race win in Formula One.
Physically, are you in better shape as a result of training over the winter?
Over the last few years, I've been pretty pleased in the sort of development, and evolution is something I try to put a lot of efforts. Because it helps me physically, but also mentally in my daily life. Just, you know, feeling sharp, feeling strong, putting the efforts in the gym, and it's something I actually like. You know, like pushing yourself. So physically very strong. Try to set up some sort of like personal targets. You know, with some running, some exercises I wanna achieve, etc. But generally speaking, I think it's probably the fittest I've ever been.
Talk to me about running. Are you running the tracks? What distances are you doing? Are you sprinting? Are you endurance?
So I don't do like crazy distance. So marathon, not yet. I'm waiting a few years before, probably after F1. But yeah, I'll do anything from, I like my, you know, 5K running, because just sprinting. And
can you reveal your fastest time, your PB?
It's sub 17. I want to get it to, I think now I've put in my mind, so in the next 2 months I'll give it a shot again, but I like to get it to 16:30 ish.
Do you mind if I don't reveal my PB?
But to be fair, at the end it's not something you need in the car, but it's just this stuff that when I put something in my mind, it's like almost I gotta tick the box, you know. So it's like I push myself. It's 5K doesn't feel great because you're just on edge from start to finish. But, you know, I quite like to go through that pain, and when you get that satisfaction at the end that, okay, you've done it and you actually get the reward. So I do, 5K, but then, I'll run up to 20, 20, 22, 23 sometimes for like longer recovery runs. at the end of the day, I just want to be one of the fittest on the grid and put that physical part away where I know I'm way fit enough for the entire season.
So I think fitness is currency in Formula One, isn't it? I think people do value a driver's fitness, and I'm talking about team principles.
Yeah, I think we are athletes, and it's part of the performance. You know, you'll have races where things feels pretty easy. You got long straights to recover. Temperature is not too high. Body temperature is quite cool. But in January, I'm thinking, okay, what are the 2-3 races which are going to be the most challenging physically? And those ones, I don't want to be just about fit enough for these races. I want to have the buffer that I'll be easy. So you look at Singapore, you look at back in the day, Malaysia was very tough. You look at Qatar, and the work I do in January, it's already having those races in mind, knowing that through the year, you're not going to be able to keep up that intensity of training. So you need to have a big buffer in February and sort of like, you know, your physical capacity decreased through the year. But whenever you get to that Qatar race in November, still want to have that buffer. When I get there, mentally, also, I know I have an edge on the others because I know the ones that don't work out as much will struggle more. So potentially the last 10 laps, you know, when it starts to get a bit harder, then mentally it makes a difference.
Did you get to go to Flavio's place in Africa? Because I remember in the 2000s, Alonso and Fisichella and Trulli, they all used to go to Kenya on a training camp.
I didn't go to Kenya to Flavio's place yet, but you know, we're getting to know each other weeks after weeks and months after months. I must say we're having a very good relationship, very honest. He's very supportive, understanding my career, where I come from, the sort of different challenges I've had, and my ambition in Formula One and the targets I set to myself. So I must say we have very open conversations about that, and he's been really on it and very supportive. Doesn't mean I got an invite to Kenya yet. I'm sure it will happen, but we're in touch consistently and have very like common vision on where we want to bring the team. Obviously, he's got way more experience than I have. He's seen the team through different shapes. He's brought the team to the top of Formula One. But at the end, in terms of mentality, mindset, and what we want from, you know, our people, I think we are in a very similar ground and very similar vision.
He's a very interesting mix, Flavio, isn't he? He's ruthless, he's charming, he's funny, he's all of these things. But for a guy who has never raced, and when he arrived in Formula One in the late 80s, professed to know nothing about Formula One, he does have an amazing capacity to deal with racing drivers in that, okay, he's managed Alonso forever. He was Trulli's manager, Fisichella's manager, Mark Webber's manager for 15 years. He does understand the way you guys think, doesn't he?
He does. But I will say, because he's got that quality of being interested and being curious about it. So he'll talk and he'll ask questions to kind of get a read and kind of scan, okay, like in what space are you, in what headspace are you in? I've been quite impressed in how much he knows, but then I realized just, you know, hanging out with him and spending more time with him that he's actually curious about many, many different topics. And that's how he has so much knowledge about, you know, various subjects. So, yeah, he does understand racing drivers. He does understand the competitiveness. You know, I'm obsessed with winning and trying to be the best and really trying to perfect whatever I do related to Formula One. And in that sense, he's the same. He doesn't accept anything below perfection. And yeah, I mean, that's why I really enjoy the talks we have. And I think there is a great understanding. There is a lot of transparency, which I love. You know, Flavio is a very straightforward and direct person. And yeah, it's matching very well.
Do you speak to him in English, Italian, French?
Mainly Italian. But then when my vocabulary comes short, then I switch to English. But yeah, mainly Italian.
How do you see his relationship with Ollie Oakes, the team principal? Who, What do you see as Flavio business and what do you see as Ollie business?
It's a good question. I mean, at the end of the day, Flavio's got that overview of the entire team. He's got that leadership and kind of giving big directions, where Ollie is probably slightly closer to the people from the fact he's on the sort of executive on a daily basis. So I think they're very close, you know. Obviously, they are together from morning to night. Ollie is at the factory every day. Flavio actually comes every week and spends quite a bit of time there. But I think they're teaming up really well. Flavio, you know, when he came in, I didn't know how much he was going to be involved because, you know, he's done so much in his life. And you could think, okay, he actually doesn't need at this stage of his life to put that much effort and that much time because he's successful, he's won in Formula One, he's done so many great stuff. He could just lay back, you know, lay down on the beach back in Kenya or south of France and just chill. But at the end of the day, he really took it personal. And his commitment, not going to lie, and dedication is way above what I imagine, and in a positive way. So he's really trying hard and really trying his best to turn the team around. And obviously, Ollie is a true racer. Ollie is probably less of this glamour side than what we know from Flavio, but he's a proper true racer that wants to build the best and strongest racing team. And it's a great mix, yeah.
I went for a run along the Yarra River in Melbourne on the Monday after the Australian Grand Prix, and I bumped into those two just strolling along.
Yeah.
Flavio asking me why I was going for a run. But yeah, they seem to get on well. They obviously bounce ideas off each other, don't they? Some people think Flavio is a Helmut Marko type figure in that he's so ruthless. As you say, he wants results. He wants to win. Do you see that side of him?
He's a competitive person. And when you're a competitive person, as I say, you don't settle for anything less than perfection. And, you know, you want the highest quality on any areas, whether it's aero, whether it's engine, whether it's drivers, you want the best available. So people can see it as ruthless, but at the end of the day, it's a competitive environment. It's high performance, top of the motorsports. These guys want what's best. And I think it's understandable. And as much as a driver, when you feel you've got the best skills, you want the best cars available. So I think it goes both ways. And it's completely fair to have this sort of expectation. But yeah, at the end of the day, you could say it's just a direct. It doesn't, you know, hide his thoughts and emotions. And it'll be quite straightforward. But yeah, honestly, I'd rather have this sort of personality than not really knowing or reading what someone can think.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler, ColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler, ColumbusAutoMall.com.
There's still lots more to come from Pierre. I ask him about his new teammates, Jack Doohan and Franco Colapinto, but I wanted to let you know what's going on F1's other official podcasts. On F1 Nation this week, you can hear our review of the Chinese Grand Prix with me and F1 TV's Laura Winter and Alex Jakes. And on F1 Explains, McLaren CEO Zak Brown answers your questions about running a race team that's fighting for the world championship. So once you finish listening to Pierre on F1 Beyond the Grid, why not check out F1 Nation and F1 Explains? And on the subject of Ollie Oakes, he's the third team principal you've had since you've been at the team. There was the Otmar Szafnauer era. There was the Bruno Famin era. How different is your relationship with Ollie to the two previous guys?
Well, it always takes some time, you know, to obviously create that sort of relationship, that understanding, trust. But I must say it's going very well because, as I say, Ollie is a true racer. So he comes from, used to be a race driver himself. So he understands both sides. He understands the engineering side. He understands the team point of view, but he also understands the driver's point of view, which really is and help the sort of conversation we have from my side and also like going forward and move together with the team and how to actually get the maximum out of all of us. So when Ollie came in, I didn't know much about him. So it, you know, takes a few months to open up and really understand each other. But I think after a couple of months, I can say I'm very happy where we are and the direction we are heading as a team as well. Because should not forget 12 months ago, I definitely didn't smile much, even though I'm a very smiley person. I must say we went through a pretty tough time as a team, which obviously personally is difficult because you put so much effort and going back home after every single race and seeing you're kind of limited, there is nothing really satisfying in terms of performance because at the end of the day, I want the result. That's what makes me happy. I can do the best race ever. If it's to finish P14, I'll go back home and it takes some time to kind of like sink in and move on to the next thing. So I think the work we've been doing over these past few months has been really impressive overall, all together as a team. Thanks to Ollie, thanks to Flav and everybody back at the factory, but can really feel that dynamic is switching and there is a real desire of achieving a higher level of performance, but we're just demanding more from ourselves. And everything is kind of slowly, all the pieces are falling in the right places, and I think we'll see the rewards of all of that in a few months.
I mean, it's felt like a team in transition for the duration of the time you've been there, actually, since 23. Do you feel that it's got everything it needs now to challenge at the front?
You'll always want more. You know, it's the reality of life, and especially in that sport, there is infinite improvements to be made. I think the way and the shape we have at the minute, the structure we have, is the strongest I've seen in Alpine since I arrived. And that's why it gives me a lot of hopes that great achievements can be done over the next few months and, you know, especially in 2026. The mentality and the mindset is what's most important for me. Just seeing the desire and the belief of my team that we can actually do it, which is something which was missing when I arrived. There was a will, but did we actually believe it was possible? Probably not everybody. And I feel the work that has been done over the past few months was really reinforcing the belief into our people that we actually got the staff, we got the facilities, we got all the requirements to actually bring Alpine back to the top. And I do believe it's achievable.
Where's that belief come from?
That's the work of many people, but obviously it comes from, you know, the brand, management, the people, the driver, and at the end, the staff, you know, motivating each other, having the desire of putting the extra hours. And you just see like the effort that are put at the factory, the motivation, the energy, the way people actually talk about ourselves inside the team. I can feel like a real sense of pride now of being part of Alpine, which is crucially important.
Is part of that from the momentum you built up last year? I mean, bad memory, but you qualified last in Bahrain at the first race of last year, and then there was that sensational P3 at Las Vegas at the end of the year. That rate of progress was sensational, and is that what has borne the belief inside Enstone?
100%. You know, at the end of the day, the results don't lie. And that comparison, let alone, I think, shows it all. Like, it just literally qualified last. In a couple of months, the team managed to turn a car which really didn't feel good. Yeah, it didn't respond to any sort of input I was trying to do inside a car. And they managed to give me a car which we qualified on the second row in Vegas on pure pace. No, nothing happened. It was just like real pure pace. And it just shows from our understanding as a team. We obviously spotted very early on what went wrong in the car, but their abilities to actually improve the processes we've put in place to really bring a lot of performance on the car. So there are a lot of positives. Sometimes I wish I could like fast forward things up to see how we're going to be like in a couple of months' time. But I do have a lot of belief that, we'll see Alpine competing for much better position in a short term.
Where did the car improve last year? I mean, okay, a lot was made of the weight.
Yeah.
But it must have been more than that.
Yeah, more than that. It's in F1, sometimes we like to pinpoint just to a single stuff. There are unlimited stuff you can do in the car to actually bring hundreds of performance. You'll go from weight saving to drag reduction to increase of downforce to fine-tune some engine setting, the extraction of the actual setup and maximizing what you got, the tire usage, you know, the mapping electronics into the car, actually finding a car balance which suits your more like natural driving, which will allow you to get that last tenth out of the car. Putting all these pieces together then end up having a considerable gain on track. But it's not down to one thing. It's really the addition of many, many little improvements.
Pierre, clearly you put a very good lap in Vegas qualifying. But if you'd taken the car you had in Bahrain to that race, would it have been back row of the grid again? It would have been.
Yeah.
And then have you managed to keep that momentum going over the winter? Does this car, the 25 car, feel a step forward again?
I think it does feel like we've improved in certain areas. There were key points on the 2024 car which were not ideal, which we changed for this year. It does feel like the grid kind of also came a bit more together. So the gains we've made, some other teams made bigger gains, some others smaller, but it's going to be an extremely tight field for the entire season, which is exciting because you know at times it's going to come your way. At times on harder weekends, it might be critical, but that's why we'll have to be clinical about every single weekend and really try to absolutely nail it, because you can get a lot or you can lose a lot on a season like that.
You said before the start of the season that you want that second win in Formula One this year. Now you've seen the opposition, do you still think that looks feasible?
The only one that I see could make this slightly more difficult to achieve is the McLarens. McLarens are really on a different level, and it does look like the gap with them, even on our best weekend, and might be difficult to close. But then at the same time, you know, on 24 races, they're not going to get it right every single time. They're going to be race situations, scenarios. People call it luck, but then at the end of the day, it's racing. You know, in a full season, if there is no unexpected scenarios happening, there's no point of going racing anymore, you know, because that's what makes our sport so enjoyable to watch and so exciting. Like, out of 24 races, I know they're going to be that one, same as last year in Brazil, same as the year before in Zandvoort when I finished on the podium on the rain. And they're going to be these conditions where on a day like that, as a driver, you'll have more chance to grab a big result. And that's what I'm hoping. You know, it might be one of the seasons where nothing happened, and at the end of the day, all the podiums are going to be with two McLarens and a Red Bull until the end of the year. But hopefully, you know, it doesn't happen like that, and we get our shots to get one of those big results.
And it is those crazy races where you seem to really excel. You have a history of it. I mean, Brazil you mentioned, Zandvoort you mentioned, Brazil as well back in the day.
That's, I think, something I'm quite, let's say, proud is at the stage of my career so far, I haven't had like a you know, out of those 8 years, I've been mainly racing in the midfield. And when you're racing in the midfield, you're trying to stand out, which is difficult because people kind of stop, you know, after the top three, people don't actually know. They don't even pay attention who's fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever. So my point is every single weekend I come with the same mindset that anything's possible. And I want to make sure that out of the midfield, I'm that first one that will benefit or get anything out of a situation, one of those situations. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you can get one podium by luck, two podium by luck, but you don't get five by luck. There is a repetition of actions that put you in a situation where you can be the one to get rewarded from those races. And I think that's something I've managed to do pretty much throughout my whole career. I can't be like, oh yeah, that was that one podium where I had a chance and I missed it, not to be vulgar, you know, where it didn't come my way. I know any single chance I've had to actually stand on that podium in Formula One, I was there and I performed and I didn't put a foot wrong. And that's the mentality where every weekend you got to come in and maybe you need to settle for eights, nines or tens because that's just the way it goes. The faster cars are not at reach. But then that one or two chances you get a year, then I want to be the one to get it just to show that I'm there when the moments come.
So you're definitely opportunistic, but you also keep your nose clean. And I am fascinated by the stat that you cost the team zero
Flavio
euros.
Flavio was pretty happy about that one.
Imagine, that's totally Flavio's language, isn't it? But do you have, I mean, obviously all Formula One drivers are brilliant athletes, but do you have that something else that allows you to keep your nose clean? Like, do you have this amazing peripheral vision? I mean, if you hold your finger up, Pierre, can you see further back than the rest
right
of
there? I got two fingers at the back of my head.
Yeah.
It's difficult to explain. I think it's awareness, trying to sense every situation, and turns out there is a part of, you know, being lucky that, you know, no one actually done anything stupid or raced in any, you know, like silly way during the year. So I think it's a mix of different characteristics. I think at the end of the day, I always race hard and clean. Like if I look at last year, there were moments where obviously I came extremely close with some of the cars, and it's just trying to find that fine margins in those wheel-to-wheel battle. And I always race hard in mind keeping my car clean, because at the end of the day, you want to see the checkered flag, because if it's to retire, then you don't even get a chance, no matter the performance of the car. But then, yeah, I think overall in my career, never really crashed much. I remember that Red Bull episodes where I've had like two crashes in the winter. I think before that, probably had one crash in F1 in my career. And following that, I probably think you could probably count my crashes in F1 like on my two hands, which is not much considering at what you see on the grid. But it's difficult to explain. It's just, I guess there is a sense of awareness and probably a bit of luck as well.
And when you're racing the other guys, you must know them inside out as well. You must have a file in your brain. Okay, I'm racing so-and-so now. They're likely to do this. So your car positioning can...
We all know each other. I know in my mind any single driver that I fight, I know the way I race them. And there might be a guy having my car in the same position attacking a main straight with the same gap. I know that this guy, I'm more likely to overtake him in turn one on the entry, or that one on the exit, or this one into the braking turn three. And this is just knowing the way they race, knowing their sort of car position most of the time, knowing their aggressivity, knowing whether they are more likely to make a mistake. So at the end of the day, it is important to know the guys that you race, because it does push you into making the right decisions. And probably at the end of the day, we go back to also, you know, that the fact that I keep my nose clean is I'm aware of who I'm fighting and I know how to raise them.
Who are the guys you're most wary of?
I'm not wary of anyone. It's just a different approach. You'll fall someone into a mistake or someone else, you'll know that being slightly more aggressive will pay off. Another one, you'll probably know that he won't make that mistake, so you'll have to kind of wear him out a little bit more and probably try to force him to use his engine a bit more. And then after, there's another thing, is something I actually study and analyze a lot because I like data and I put quite a lot of hours with my guys and analyzing the other cars. Is going into a race, I know my strength is in turn 7, turn 9, and versus Aston Martin, I'm weaker braking 14 and the last part of the track.
You know all of that before you go in?
Yeah. So I'll know if I got a fight with those guys, I'm more likely to make a difference in that sector 2 than sector 3. So in that case, I try to, if I go into sector 3, I try to force him to lose a bit of time so I can stay closer. So when I get to sector 2, I get a better shot, rather than desperately trying to attack him at the end of the straight where I know I won't be in a favorable position. There is all this to take into consideration when you're in the car. Sometimes it doesn't look like that from the outside. It's like, oh yeah, he's just tried that move, or he's, why did he move that car in that position? But because you're trying to set up yourself for a quarter of a lap later or a third of the lap later.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Can we talk about how you feel you've improved as a racing driver? You've got, what, 150 odd starts under your belt. You're 29 and you're the fifth oldest driver in Formula One. How does that make you feel?
That's really crazy, because a couple of years ago at 29, you'd probably be one of the youngest.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, in 25, yeah, fifth.
Where are you still getting better?
Oh, I get better every year. I'm not going to lie. I feel it's one of these sports where experience really come in handy, because we don't practice much, you know, compared to any other sport. So got, you know, friends in football or basketball or tennis, and whenever I discuss with them, they're like, oh yeah, every day we actually practice our sport. They'll play ball, they'll play, you know, they'll get on the court, they'll try to, like, you know, really perfect that shot they get from outside the box. And I'm like, well, I never practice. Next time I get out is for my FP1 in China or Japan.
Do you go karting in between the races?
Honestly, with the time we have available, it's hard. And I love to. If I could, I will, you know, be sitting in an F1 car every single week, because I'm sure you would actually get that point, you know, 1% of yourself and your driving by just, like, having this talent's repetition. But it's not something we're able to do. So it brings that other challenge of you need to adapt very quickly in F1 compared to previous categories, where maybe you got a bit more practice, a bit more test days. You know, in karting, people used to practice like 200 days a year. It's like, fine, it works those days. But when you get to F1, is that natural ability to get on it straight away. You need to get the feel very quickly. But yeah, we don't get to practice. So I do feel every year you're always learning about yourself, about the team, about how to extract. I think when I came in, I was mainly trying to really understand myself, the feeling inside the car. And now it's my knowledge has gone a bit wider in terms of teamwork and how do I get more from my guys and all together as a team. How do we complement each other to make sure that when we get to the track, not only myself is 100%, but all of us as a team, the car, the mechanics, the engineers, my race engineers, the communication, how do we prep ourselves better that we have an edge when we get to that qualifying or race.
Pierre, do you know what you sound like? You sound like a team leader.
Yeah,
that last 30 seconds, you seem to enjoy. Are you relishing that role?
I love that role. I embrace that role. It's about making a difference. At the end of the day, it's about leading that team in the right direction. And I'm not someone that settles for suboptimal work or performance. I always want the best for my team, for my people, and for myself. And whenever I get back home on a Sunday night and I want to feel okay, hopefully it's been a strong result. But regardless of the outcome, have we done everything perfectly or at the level that's at the standard of a race winning team? And that's what we want to be like. So
are you a natural leader?
I think since I was a kid, I've always been like that. So I used to play football and I used
were
to be
the shouty one on the pitch.
I just used to push my teammate, and you know, it's like having that winning mentality. I, no matter what I do, it's just deep inside me. It doesn't matter. I gotta win. I want to win. So whether I play chess on my off time against random people online, I get absolute. I'm fuming if I lose, even though I don't know against who I play. But it's that inner fire I've got inside me, and I know the day I don't have it, no point for me to be in sport anymore. That's my motivation every single day. That's what I use to make all the efforts and putting the hours to improve myself and improve my team. And that's also why I love my life, because that's my purpose. And I know exactly what I want.
It feels like you've stepped up this year. Okay, you've got a rookie as your teammate. You seem to rub along very well, and Jack, by the way. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, there's no acting there. It's Jack is an amazing guy. He's very funny. I mean, like most of the OC people, they're very easygoing, and he's a fast guy. Honestly, I know he's not having the easiest way into Formula One, and there are many situations where I can relate with what I had to go through at some stage in my career, and I didn't feel good. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy those times. And in a way, I don't feel like I want him to have these similar feelings which I had, because F1 is all about you need to enjoy your time. We're lucky to be in the position we are. He's dreamt about Formula One his entire life. I dreamt about F1. When we get here, it's all about the performance, but it's important to also enjoy that process. We got only one life. We have only one career, and we're here to enjoy every single second. It should not be like we're here feeling not great. So that's why there are situations where it's more in terms of mindset, focus, and trying to keep him focused on the right stuff, which ultimately will be good for him, will be good for the team, and will be good for all of us.
Do you think he's been put under an unfair amount of pressure coming in?
I think, the guy was already all over the media before he even got to race in F1. So I think you need to give the guy some time, and time will tell. But, he's in this position because he was given the chance. Was given the chance because people believe in him in the first place. And it's a tough environment. They're always going to be pressure. They're always going to be talks. What's unfair is the fact that not everybody gets talked the same way. And this is something I don't like. I won't change it myself. I've seen it all as well. But, for a given situation, that's life. You don't always get the same treatment. And that's how it is. But at the end of the day, regardless of all the noise, etc., I think as an athlete, it's important to stay focused in the right targets and try, to shield yourself the best way you can. So I learned it my way. Through my own challenges and all my own obstacles and mistakes, etc. But if it can come useful and handy for, you know, my teammates, which I appreciate and who I need to perform for the championship and for the team, I'll support very happily.
Looking at Franco Colapinto, he's the reserve driver. Do you see positives in him being with the team? Because that's where a lot of the pressure for Jack has come from.
I mean, at the end of the day, I love Franco as well, and he's done extremely well. And you know, I'm sure he has his place on the grids. But I think we should not forget every team's got a reserve driver. I was a reserve driver at Red Bull. I was a reserve driver at Toro Rosso. I wanted the seat of the main drivers. I like the main drivers, but I'm not here to just watch. I'm here to race. Any reserve driver wants the race seats of the teams they are in, regardless of who you are. And when Jack was reserve driver last year, Esteban and myself are there, and we know he won a race in one of our cars. It's normal. That's the normal dynamic of a race team. And Franco is there and obviously wants to race. And, you know, I hope for him is we're going to see him on the grid soon, because he's proven to be a very strong driver. But it's more like it's just the natural dynamic. There is no need to extrapolate or make extra, you know, it's just that's how it is. It's always been in F1.
Voice of experience speaking there. Just a couple more things. Can we go outside of Formula One now? You've got the football team.
Yeah.
FC Versailles. I saw they were playing Rouen the other day, by the way. Your hometown.
Were you so at the you game? Are watching third division yeah. French football.
And I saw it was 1-0.
I read that.
Message to Versailles. Guys, please don't beat these people. I want to get out of here alive, right?
Got my family back home, please. Keep everybody safe.
Are you enjoying the footy? You've also got the paddle team as well.
Yeah.
You're expanding. You've got lots of interests outside of motorsport.
I've always had that curiosity and interest. You know, beside Formula One, I always say when we are in the paddock, people kind of know 10% of who we are, really, because we come here, we are race driver. I mean, my work environment, I work in a certain way, but it's almost like I'm into that, not like robot, but I know exactly what I come here for, and it's just for work. It doesn't display who I am or who I think or who I like. Come out of the car after 2 minutes with all this emotion, and I'm quite an emotional person. I speak on TV and people got that vision of, okay, that guy is like that. He says these words. He might think or be like that. But at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all go back home, get back home on a Sunday night, sit down on my couch. And there are other stuff I like in life and in my life, which actually help me to balance that pressure I have in my work environments, which it's not my work. It's, you know, it's my passion, but in Formula One. And I balance it with that interest in other stuff. So yeah, sport is obviously a big part of my life. I've always been a massive football fan. I played when I was a kid, always had that desire to be involved in some ways. Took a great decision to stop football at 11 and focused on karting. But then I've always had that desire to somehow remain in this environment competitive, which I just love football. I just love the game. And I decided to invest in FC Versailles on a long-term project because it's a third division team and we aspire
What are your ambitions for the team?
Yeah, I always set very high goals to myself because that's what drives me to work hard and put a lot of efforts. But hopefully one day we'll see Versailles in the first league. At the same time, I'm objective. It's not something that's going to happen over the next 3 years. It's probably more like a 5 to 8 years project. But, you know, I'm with other co-owners.
They say about football, PM.
It costs a lot of money. Yeah.
How do you make a small fortune out of football?
Well, the good thing
you
is
start
I can
with a big one.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is I can talk to Flavio about it because
true, Queen's Park Rangers.
Exactly. He did invest in football as well. So, but yeah, I got the paddle team.
You play in the paddle team, right?
I don't play. No, I don't play. I'm just owner. They are like professional players. We do have professional players in the competition, and I just enjoy also seeing the other side of using my knowledge as an athlete, the sort of extremely high standard we got in Formula One for us to perform and try to provide some of that to a level which is not as professional as the one I'm in. So like this, I can give a platform and a sort of environment where people can really excel in what they're doing. And also like we got like very young players coming in, trying to give them a chance to, you know, take off and get their own career. I think it's quite satisfying and something I enjoy. And yeah, it's not only in the sport. I've got other investment more in tech. And, you know, like I love being part of a story and journey, something that starts and actually open myself to world that I don't know perfectly, just to learn more. Because at the end of the day, you know, I just want to be wiser when I retire than the one I am
You're not
now.
Someone who gets bored, are you?
No. People around me will say it's pretty hard to keep up with definitely my girlfriend doesn't always enjoy this hectic life, but that's just who I am. I gotta be on it all the time and wired, and it also helps me kind of like whenever I get back in that paddock, I just close myself and it's I get like a sharper type of focus into the biggest job in my life and to achieve my biggest dream.
Do you want to see the team improve this car, or do you want to see them throw everything at 2026?
I want to go big. So, you know, I've told them already since last year to me, maybe a good thing I don't manage the finance, but if it was down to me, I'll put all that money all on next year. Because if you ask me, I don't actually care finishing 7th, 6th, 8th, 9th, or 10th. I want to be on the podium and I want to be winning. I know this year it doesn't matter how much money we put, we won't be able to close that gap with McLaren and the top runner, where next year as a team I see a huge opportunity and we could be fighting for the world championship in 2026 if we do the right steps and make the right decisions for next year. So to me it's a very clear decision. The strategy is already decided, you know.
By strategy you mean what, Mercedes power? And
yes, and also in the way that we're going to develop our car for next year and the focus for it. But there is much more to achieve as a team in 2026 than we'll be able to do in 25. And that's why I'm really excited, because I think we could see Alpine winning races in 26.
Exciting times ahead, definitely. Pierre, thank you very much. Just before you go, this final question I'm asking everybody this year on the podcast. What is your favorite moment from the 75-year history of this great sport?
My favorite moment, I guess I'll have to go with my win in Monza. It's the obvious one, but the emotions I've had on that day were unique, and I don't think it will be ever forgotten for me in my life. So probably that was the most emotional and marking moment in my career. Obviously, for F1 itself in 75 years, so many things happened. But personally, that was the most special one.
It was an awesome moment. Thank you very much for this chat, Pierre. Great to see you again.
Thank
you. Good
luck. Thank you.
Who can forget Pierre's win at Monza? I still remember seeing him sitting on the podium next to his trophy long after the fanfare had ended, just soaking it all up. I thoroughly enjoyed catching up with Pierre again. There's an assured confidence about him now, something that comes with a greater understanding of the sport and knowing what opportunities there are. If the chance to win presents itself this year, I'm sure he'll grab it with open arms. Pierre, thanks for your time. See you at a racetrack again soon. Now, as promised, here's your chance to experience this season's Miami Grand Prix like a VIP, thanks to F1 Unlocked. You can win weekend tickets to the Vista Club Suite with an amazing view of the first corner, plus lunch and a paddock tour with an F1 ambassador, flights and accommodation, all for you and three guests. To enter, go to f1.com/Miami-unlocked-podcast. That's f1.com/Miami-unlocked-podcast. Full terms and conditions are on that page too. Entries close on Wednesday, the 2nd of April. Good luck. Well, thanks for listening to Pierre, and I will, of course, be back next week with another great guest from the world of Formula One. But for now, F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.